Hello, it's Thursday, the 23rd of July, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Stellier. Two tiny countries, thousands of kilometres apart, both surrounded by danger. Today, we're talking about the strong but somewhat under the radar relationship between Israel and Taiwan. Taiwan came out strongly in support of Israel after the October 7th attacks, and since then, trust and cooperation have continued to grow. So what does Israel gain from this relationship, and does it risk incurring the wrath of Beijing? I'll be discussing that with Doron Feldman, an America in the World Consortium Fellow at the Clements Center for National Security at the University of Texas at Austin. Hear our conversation in a moment, but first the latest. Oil prices have surged to their highest level in weeks after Iran-backed Houthi rebels attacked two Saudi oil tankers in the Red Sea. The strikes bring another crucial shipping route into the conflict, adding to concerns over the impact on global energy supplies. Iran is warning it will continue to strike targets across the Middle East for as long as the United States attacks the Islamic Republic. The Houthis in Yemen say they will maintain their blockade of Saudi-linked shipping, while regional diplomats are warning hopes of de-escalation are fading fast. The US Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the price Iran pays for escalating the conflict will rise every night until the regime, quote, comes to its senses. Speaking at the ASEAN summit, Rubio claimed Tehran was once again seeking a deal with Washington, but he warned the Trump administration no longer trusted Tehran to honor any agreement. Thousands of Jewish worshippers have ascended the Temple Mount on this Tisha B'Av. More than a dozen people have been detained by police for praying at the site, despite long-standing restrictions under the status quo established after Israel captured the old city in 1967. Muslims can pray at the site they call Haram al-Sharif, while Jews are allowed to visit, but not pray there. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he will seek to form a broad national unity government after Israel's October elections, using his annual Tisha B'Av message to call for unity after years of war and political division. Drawing on the lessons of the destruction of the ancient Jewish temples, Netanyahu said Israel's survival depended not on internal conflict, but on standing together in the face of the country's ongoing security challenges. Well, on that note, Hamas's new leader, Khalil al-Haya, has vowed to follow the path of Yahya Sinwar and Mohammed Deif, the architects of the October 7th massacre. He declared that the terrorist group will continue to fight Israel. In his first televised address since taking over, al-Haya rejected any political concessions, demanded a full Israeli withdrawal from Gaza, and reaffirmed Hamas's long-standing goals. And Israel's Diaspora Affairs Minister, Amichai Shikli, is calling for the closure of Turkey's consulate in Jerusalem after a new report accused Ankara of using cultural, political and charitable networks to expand its influence in the city while at the same time supporting Hamas. The study claims President Erdogan is pursuing a long-term strategy to expand Turkey's foothold in Jerusalem and across the region. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder, you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Doron Feldman. So Israel and Taiwan, they don't officially recognise each other, do they? But they do have a strong relationship. Can you talk us through the nature of that cooperation?
We should return to the era of the early Cold War during the 50s, when Israel, of course, became a new country and mm-hmm. tried to form basically a diplomatic relationship with the People's Republic of China, which is what we know today called mainland China or China. But still, it was a bit difficult. And because Israel's stance, we can say that Israel and back then the Republic of China, which is the full or the more official name of Taiwan, the relationship between those countries, Israel and the ROC or Taiwan, they were, I would say, hostile in their nature. But still, during the 70s and the 80s, things began to change and the countries started to collaborate, to cooperate quietly, mostly in terms of weapons and defense aspects.
I want to kind of relate this to current events because the whole world, of course, is very much focused on the Strait of Hormuz, that very crucial waterway that Iran has taken control of. We're also talking about the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, as well as the Houthis enter the fray. But there's another crucial waterway in Asia, isn't there? The Taiwan Strait. So what lessons are being learned about what's going on with Iran right now?
Correct. I think that basically we can say that not only Taiwan is learning or trying to learn the lessons from the war in the Gulf, but also the US and China. And I think we can speak about a lot of aspects of this future escalation that we hope that won't come, of course, but we can talk about the shortage of ammunition of the US military that is being reported in the in the Western and also in the American media. We can talk also about maybe the partial inability of the United States to fully defend its allies. We can see that the Gulf nations are being bombed by Iran every day, and this raises a lot of concerns in the Indo-Pacific theater, especially from the allies of the US in this region, like South Korea, Japan, the Philippines, and others. For China and for Taiwan, they understand the importance and the role of asymmetric tools in the battlefield, like drones and other developed and deployed into the battlefield, and they can compensate for some weaknesses or disadvantages that, especially in the case of Taiwan, we see in the war between the US and Iran and Israel, of course, that smaller countries, again, like Iran, like Ukraine, they can sustain and they can survive against offensive from larger powers. Mm. And yet, I think that the context of a future escalation in the Taiwan Strait will be different from what we are seeing today. Why? Because we expect to see a direct confrontation between two nuclear major powers, that China understands the importance or its ability to enforce a blockade in the area of the Taiwan Strait, like Iran did or does now, right now. And I think that China is even understands that it can basically partially disrupt the export and the shipment of semiconductors and chips that are being produced in Taiwan and we know that Taiwan is responsible for around almost 90% of producing and exporting of the most advanced chips in the world, that I think that Taiwan will try to leverage. And this is the most important card, strategic card that Taiwan has. It will try to say to the world, come to help us or stop China from invading us or putting the siege on us. Otherwise, this, you know, crucial industry will fall in the hands of Beijing.
Let's talk about what happened after October 7th then, because China was very ambiguous, wasn't it? And some say it almost kind of pushed a lot of the pro-Hamas propaganda through its own social media channels. Taiwan, though, right out of the gate, was very supportive of Israel. What did that support mean for Israel, and how has that affected the relationship moving forward?
That's correct. First, let's say that Taiwan was really quick to respond and to show solidarity and support of the State of Israel and the Jewish people, by the way, also. And they expressed strong condemnation against the brutal Hamas's attacks. And I think for the Taiwanese, it was a way to say that we are standing next or by to another democracy, small democracy that is being threatened. And they try to basically mimic or maybe to portray this war in the Middle East, which is very far, of course, from where Taiwan is located, as a battle or as a fight between democracy and undemocratic forces or entities. In this way, I think Taiwan also wanted to educate their own people on how to build national and social resilience, which is crucial. We can see how much it was crucial for Israel in the current war, and Taiwan understands it. For Taiwan, hopefully to earn the goodwill of Israel and the support of Israel in any future escalation between China and Taiwan. Its conscription model on how to innovate, and more specifically on how to develop air defense systems. And there were reports in the media that the deputy ministry of minister of defense of Taiwan, he visited Israel in the late of 2025 in order again to discuss quiet cooperation in defense, specifically in developing the T-Dome system, the you know, like the Iron Dome
system, which is like the Iron Dome for Taiwan.
Exactly.
And just very quickly, why is this relationship important for Israel?
I think for Israel, especially after the 7th of October, it was like Israel asked or wanted the support of every nation. And specifically, as we can see that as in the times of when anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism sentiments are growing or are increasing around the world, so Taiwan wanted to portray itself as a safe place for Israelis and Jewish people to visit, to travel, to work. And this is more broadly, I think, a trend that we are seeing that Israel is trying kind of pivoting itself more into the Indo-Pacific theater by expanding the cooperation not only with Taiwan, but also with Japan and India. And this is crucial for Israel.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching or listening. Next week, guest host David Matlin will be standing in. Do enjoy listening to him, and I'll be back with you soon. Please do subscribe using the link below. Goodbye.